All right, it's my pleasure to hand the meeting over to Mark M, who's going to share for us tonight. And this the floor is yours, Mark.
Hey, I'm an addict. My name's Mark. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Marcia, for asking me, and thank you guys for having the meeting open here. It was a little smaller than I was expecting. I don't know if that's. I think that's worse rather than better sometimes. I appreciate the opportunity to speak at. I guess it's kind of like a non. Fellowship specific place because my story has some elements from different fellowships. So sometimes I'm mainly based in NA, but when I share my story, it sometimes feels awkward that if I want to make references to other fellowships, and that's related to like when I first got clean and also finding some special interest meetings and things like that. So just an issue that's been kind of happening recently, and I've shared at meetings, and is that NA just had a world convention in Washington that I was at, and a friend of mine there asked me to help out with a local regional convention, which that's not any service work that I tried doing before. But he asked, and I hadn't done much in-person service for a bit, so I said yes, and I'm on the programming committee. And so I've been listening to all sorts of speaker recordings, and it's interesting because as an atheist, it's interesting because a lot of what are considered the popular speakers, there's a like a really heavy emphasis on gods and people insisting that God has to be part of your program. So that is, like I said, it's interesting. I'm working on it. I am talking with friends about it because, I gotta deal with those things myself. My recovery date's December 18th of 1982. So if I can stay alive for two more days, I will be celebrating 42 years of not picking up no matter what. And not doing it with God. Because my story is that from an early age, I knew I really didn't believe. Though I attended what they call a parochial, I don't know how it is in other parts. It was a religious school anyway, from in my elementary school years from kindergarten through eighth grade. Fortunately, it was kind of an obligation sort of thing. My parents weren't overtly religious. They went to church, because people went to church, and then they sent us to, my sister and I to the school. But like I said, I knew early on that, this kind of didn't make any sense to me, but I also knew, not to say much about it because I didn't think it would go over well with the adults in the room. From an early age, like you said, I didn't always have words to describe what it was. It just, the whole religion and the God thing, just like I said, it did not make sense to me. Also from an early age, it was kind of like I always wanted to be something else, somewhere else, somebody else. I didn't like me. I would read voraciously to as a means of escape. I guess it's like an early manifestation of addiction. And the first time I had the ability to like use, which was in high school, it was, I was off and running. I apparently, I think there's people here from overseas, but I was fortunate to be able to go, well, I don't remember a lot about it, but I was able to go on a trip over to Europe and on the mainland, at least at that time. I don't know what it is now. There was no drinking age. So, like 13, 14 year olds or, people that are on this group, we could all drink freely. And the first time I picked up that drug, it was like, it changed me, made me feel warm and fuzzy and like I was all sophisticated and somebody else other than me, because I really didn't like me. And Yeah, my using story, I don't delve a lot into it. It's not unique. It's not, I don't have really horrible horror stories. I used regularly after I got to college. It had the similar effects that I guess a lot of people have. It impacted school, it impacted my relationships, it impacted my work situation, all that stuff. The one thing I do recall through my using days is knowing that, if I picked up, I wasn't going to stop, until I either ran out of money or I couldn't use any more. So it was not, he said nothing major. I don't have, when he said, I don't have a belief in a God. And so I don't have this notion that somehow, something was looking out for me and got me through all of this stuff. I now believe, I got really fortunate, because I did a lot of stupid things. I didn't get in a lot of legal trouble because I was, innocent. I just didn't get caught doing some of the stuff I did. But again, I didn't do it. I wasn't doing anything really egregious or, horribly felonious behavior. But I could have easily killed somebody, caused a lot of damage to people in, when I was out actively using. Because one thing I did, I really liked to drive when I was, out of my head. But like I said, fender benders, driving into ditches, things like that. But I didn't. Fortunately, never ran anybody over, didn't have a major accident. And I don't know how, like I said, just I'm fortunate because some people aren't fortunate. Sometimes, that's the end of their using career. When I got clean, it was behind the last time I used, I got arrested finally. They, caught up with me. And I wasn't. I had that sense of desperation that I didn't know what else to do other than to use, and to cover up the bad feelings about myself, the bad feelings about the mess my life had turned into, and that the drugs were making worse, but I couldn't stop. But that wasn't really my main motivation, honestly, when I came in. Like I said, I got arrested, and I was desperate to figure out some way to get out of the legal trouble I was in. And it was like, oh, I'll go to one of these 12-step fellowships and maybe they'll let me off the hook here. And at the time I got clean, there was no NA where I was at, so I did go to an AA meeting, which I was scared enough of my situation that I kept going, even though there was the Lord's Prayer and all this other God stuff going on. I stuck with it. And ultimately, I really didn't get out of the legal jam I was in at all. It didn't seem, I mean, I don't know if it helped or not because I got no plea deal. I didn't get a break on the thing at all. So that part of the plan didn't really work out the way I intended. But I continued not to use. I came in, and this stuff came up, in the next subsequent years when I started doing inventory, and it was like, I was a closeted gay guy with a wife and very little in the way of any assets or things like that. And my life was pretty much in the shits. But not using, things did start to get better on some elements. I was able to pay bills again. Things started looking a little bit better. About a year and a half, 2 years, I don't remember. I don't know. That's the one thing I've noticed for myself. It's just my story. I don't have a wonderful memory about things in the past. I've listened to people give their stories, and they go into, intimate detail about stuff they did while they were out in active addiction. It was like, oh my God, I can't remember a lot of stuff after I even got clean, let alone what I did in active addiction. That's even hazier yet, but that's just me. But somewhere in that time frame, NA came around, and some of the friends I had in the fellowship started going to that meeting and told me about it. And I went to my first meeting and pretty quickly realized this is where it's where I belonged. And I liked some of what the fellowship had said about It didn't, focusing on the actual disease and not on, the substance. And, while alcohol was definitely a drug I used, a lot of other drugs too. So identified there, I also liked it was fairly welcoming. And this was a time I was starting to work on the inventory and like the sexuality issues were coming out. And I was having to address that and, and doing a fifth step to go over that. And part of the sixth, seventh, and the eighth, and ninth subsequently was, working things out and having to extract myself from this marriage because it wasn't, I came to the conclusion, working these steps of, this isn't fair to my wife. She needed to be able to go on with her life and find somebody that, really wanted to be with her. Because that was, I used to kind of joke about it, but it's like, yeah, it's like the whole relationship was all just drug based. I'm pretty sure I was under the influence when we actually got married, and most of the marriage was under the influence. So, but and so it was just a thing where, once I came to grips with that, I had to cut that loose. And the NA fellowship that started gave me a lot of support in that area, which I didn't feel I had with AA. Though I did find, there were special interest meetings I eventually discovered over the years with AA that weren't there with NA. So that, that was also a resource for me. And like I said, so my story is kind of back and forth between some of the fellowships for some periods of time. I did get out of that marriage. Life started improving. I started living. Stopped lying, cheating, and stealing. I don't do a real. I don't complicate the program a ton. There's a, it's a thing. I joke. I'm kind of a mediocre NA member. I tell myself because some people are very fervent about it in the fellowship and in I'm guessing people here are I don't know where they're all based and what fellowships, but there's a thing I noticed over the years in NA, they've really gotten what I almost consider dogmatic, which is kind of a problem for me because I'm not religious. I don't like that kind of stuff. But this thing of like they've turned into like almost a ritual thing of like you got to write steps, you got to do them over, you got to write them through them, you got to go through them again and again and again. And it's to me it's like I've worked through those. The 10, 11, and 12 step for me is kind of that's an ongoing maintenance thing for me, is keeping practicing these principles. But I got to live them, I got to put them to work in my life. And when I started not behaving the way I used to behave in active addiction, doors opened up for me. I got good employment. My life got better. And like I said, the community initially with that I found in NA, and it was in a very small, kind of a small community, was very supportive of diversity and stuff. Which at that time, this was back, in the 80s, wasn't as commonplace in smaller places. I don't think in any of the fellowships. So, I felt, very happy there. But subsequently, some of that kind of broke apart. The group, some people relapsed. There was some split offs, as happens sometimes that people drift away from the program. And I had a major altercation with a really good friend of mine in the program, and I got kind of like my little resentment, and I stopped attending meetings for a while to a large extent. I didn't cut off entirely, but I wasn't anywhere near as active. I'd hit a meeting here and there. I'd go to a convention. So, again, I have, say the mediocre NA member thing. I don't have any other story than my own. I wish I could be the I'm on fire for the fellowship and rah, 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 but it hasn't always been my story. But like I said at the beginning, what I've done right is I haven't picked up, and that's in the NA literature talks about, must not use no matter what. I've not used no matter what. Well, another thing, and I bring this up when I talk too, is I don't, I say I have I've never relapsed since I came into the rooms. But because people, I don't know, I maybe it's my little quirk. Some people have this thing of like, like it's only a relapse after you've gone to a 12-step meeting. It's like, what's that about? I mean, I tried to stop a bunch of times. I stopped for a year one time when I was in active addiction through, white knuckling it and teeth gritting. And one time, or part of it, I worked two full-time jobs, about 90 hours a week. So, but each of those times ended in failure. And I consider, I consider that it's a relapse. I mean, I went back out again. So, but it's, it is still optional. You don't have to do it after you walk into the rooms. That's the beauty of recovery programs, is we don't have to use again. But and like I said, it's sometimes it's been where, I've just kind of done it even now, just through hanging on there and not using, like I said, no matter what. I don't know. I have been back. I came back and got reconnected, mainly with NA, and I stayed around then for. I've been around mainly since then, for the most part. Part of the story that I have with is when I say the kind of interconnection with the fellowship was a few years before COVID. I went to a sponsee of mine was sharing at a it's a convention here, but it's similar, like something like this kind of group. It's a non particular it started out in AA LGBT community, but it's kind of a more of a multi 12-step fellowship convention now, and she was sharing it at a workshop there, and I went to that, and that's where I discovered a workshop on secular AA, and got some information about it and found some meetings, and there were in-person meetings, not close by, but within 40, 50 minutes of my house. And like I said, I'd always known. I really didn't believe, but a mediocre NA member. I consider myself not to be a very devout atheist either. I don't have, it's not a. I just don't believe there's something there. I don't get too wound up about it, but it is bothersome for me when you go to meetings and people are really like pushing that element of it. So in conventional meetings, that's always been, a little bit of a issue that is troublesome for me. So I found about the secular AA, and I did do some of the, I got to start attending some of those. Then COVID came around, and everything kind of shut down. Like I said, I also done some LGBT meetings too, but there is, like I said, NA has very little of. There's no secular in person anywhere near where I'm at, and there are only a very few secular or not secular LGBT special interest meetings. And there seems to be that's something I have a problem with my home fellowship too, is it on one outside seems to want to embrace diversity, and then other times they get very sometimes get very prickly about, why do you have this special interest meeting? And it's like, well, because it's a place I can go and feel comfortable at. After the COVID hit and most of the meetings shut down, at some point in there, I found the secular NA community online. And that's where I have been basing most of my recovery. I do a little bit of in-person meeting since then. That's kind of where we're at now with my life. But I as far as like how that my recovery program goes, I don't look at my disease. I hear some people share like their disease is like some, like little entity over here, and it's coming to attack them and stuff. I maybe it's because of the my secular approach. I just it's part of me. It's a part of my physical being. I'm not able to use substances successfully, there's elements of that where, I can get some wacky thinking, but it's not like coming from some other place. It comes from me. It's my thoughts and my reactions to things that can cause me discomfort and distress, and it's not, I mean, it's part of the disease, but it's not like the disease is some, like I said, some other entity for me. It's just part of me, and I work steps and I apply the principles mainly to alleviate that. I didn't have some higher power to turn my defects character over to. I had to learn how to face situations and not act out the same way I used to act out when I was in active addiction and sometimes in recovery. I mean, I know just like an example of what, how I, how things have happened over the years is, one place I worked where there was an issue with taxes, and it was, having something, well, my company wasn't having something withheld. This should have been withheld. And my coworkers didn't want me to address it because they were afraid they were going to get jammed up with it. And, in the past, my greed would have been fine, and I'm greedy and I'm happy to hang on to the money. And that wasn't so much it. It was my self-esteem. I didn't want them to think bad of me because I might be doing the right thing. So I talked it over with people in the program, and I did some self-examination. And at some point, I came to the thing of, well, no, I've just got to do what I'm supposed to do. And I did, and I fortunately didn't get in. I paid my back stuff and got it done, and my coworkers didn't hate me. But that's kind of my approach. It's not like I had God take it away from me or anything. I looked at it, tried to take an honest look at it, and dealt with it. And I don't also take this thing of, I some people think it's like this constant ascension of, whatever, you're climbing higher up some spiritual ladder. I find that, as I've gotten older, different challenges appear at different ages, and I'm an older person now, and sometimes I have a few little health things going on. I'm in retirement, and these are issues that I didn't have when I was 30 or 40. But the same thing, I've got to still apply these principles in my life and try to do the right thing, and live a good, decent life. I find I don't have a lot of answers, I guess. I don't like to tell people how to work a program because what works for me may absolutely not work for you at all. And that's the same thing. I have one sponsee. I don't actively go out, and maybe that's not the right thing either, but I know some people, I guess, I see if I feel like, they want to be doing this, that, and the other thing, like that, doing all activity or writing or journaling. This is like some means to some end. And if, that sort of stuff works for somebody, that's fine. But I don't know, it's not my thing. So I don't push any of that on other people. And I don't know, like I said, I try to stay focused. I know there's a thing I checked periodically and looked up, but I look at myself as I'm a unique individual. We all are, and I've looked this up before, and there's like been over like 100 billion humans have existed since we've been around. So and all of us, just due to the genetics and things like that, we're all, there's no other, there's no, never going to be any other me, and there never has been. But with 100 billion plus people, I have to let go of that ego, and I'm not all that special necessarily. Very few of those 100 billion people are like like memorable and etched in history or anything. And that's just that's just how it is. If I feel if I try to live a decent life today, I have maybe some impact on other people. Maybe somebody here hears something that is helpful. And honestly, you being here is helpful to me because it's a means for me to work a 12-step and share my message, which is what, I've been told is part of my recovery process. So I don't know. It is late here, so I'm gonna shut up and thank you for the opportunity for sharing. Thanks.